Morning. Had a little panic there for a second. I couldn't find my Bible or my sermon. No worries, though. I do a lot of speaking, and so I have to be really careful what sermon I pick out to give because I try not to repeat it for anyone. Brandon kind of messed up my plans this morning. Brandon, you've heard this sermon before, so hopefully it's better the second time. It's been a while since I've worked in a healthcare setting, but I used to work in a healthcare setting a lot. And some of you may know this, but it's very common to do x-rays on little babies, especially premature babies that were born before their due date. It's very common for them to have illnesses that have to be watched very carefully. Even if they don't have an illness, you still have to watch them carefully because they get sick so quickly. So one of the things that's sometimes done is they'll have an x-ray done every day. One of the diagnoses that is common for these little babies is a diagnosis called failure to thrive. Anyone ever heard of that before? Failure to thrive. It's interesting what failure to thrive means. I don't know why they call it failure to thrive, because it usually has a very specific meaning. And that specific meaning usually is failure to grow. Especially for newborn children, failure to thrive usually means failure to grow. And this makes sense because when a baby is born, you have a baby, and say that baby is 7 pounds. Is that a good weight or a bad weight for a newborn baby? That's fine. That's a perfectly good weight for a newborn baby. When the baby is 3 months old, is 7 pounds a good weight or a bad weight? Not a good weight anymore, right? So the point of this is that when a baby is born, 7 pounds is a good weight. But if it's been 3 months and they still weigh 7 pounds, that's not a healthy weight anymore. The baby is supposed to grow. And if the baby is not growing, then the baby is not healthy. Maybe the baby is just like it was when it was a newborn. Well, when it was a newborn, that was fine. But when it's 3 months old, that's not fine anymore. A healthy baby is a growing baby. And you know where this is going. A healthy Christian is a growing Christian. And if a Christian is not growing, then that Christian, maybe one of us, maybe me, maybe you, if that Christian is not growing, then that Christian is not as healthy as it should be. In the Bible, growth is expected. Just like with a child, growth is expected. In the Bible, when God talks about Christians, it's expected that we grow. And there's lots of reasons for this. And there's lots of ways that this is supposed to happen. As a baby gets older, their diet is supposed to change. A baby starts out drinking only milk, and then by the time they're 6 or 7 or 8 months old, usually the baby has been introduced to other forms of food. And so a baby that's 3 months old, that's only drinking milk, is that good or bad? It's just fine. There's nothing wrong with a 3-month-old baby having only milk. But if a child gets to be 13 months old, 14, 15, 16 months old, and they can't tolerate anything other than milk, is that a healthy baby anymore? It's not healthy anymore. As a baby grows, their diet is supposed to change, and as a Christian grows, our diet is also supposed to change. And I say all of this to introduce a passage that we're all familiar with, which is Hebrews chapter 5. One of the measures of whether or not a Christian is growing is our diet. Is our diet the same today as it was last year? Is our spiritual diet the same today as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago? What kind of spiritual food are what we digesting? So Hebrews chapter 5 talks about this. Hebrews 5 starting in verse 10. Jesus was called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That was Hebrews chapter 5. So this is the question. How has your spiritual diet changed over the years? This morning, we're talking about personal growth. And when I say personal growth, I mean your growth. Your growth, not anybody else's growth. Your personal growth. Not anybody else in the room, just your growth. Not the person in front of you, not the person behind you, not the person beside you. Personal growth is 100% about you. And so I'll ask several questions today, and I don't want you to think about anybody else except for yourself. Because, at least in the context of this lesson, nobody else's growth matters except for your growth. So how has your spiritual diet changed over the years? A mature Christian should have a mature diet. The ability to understand and digest deeper things that are of a spiritual nature. And so the writer's point in Hebrews chapter 5 is that the people he was writing to, they were mature Christians. But was their diet mature? It wasn't. And one of the measures of that was their ability to teach other people. The writer says that at this point in your spiritual walk, you're mature enough, you've been a Christian long enough, that you should have the ability to teach other people. But he says you're not even close to that. He says, in fact, you've digressed. You've actually digressed, and you need people to reteach you, again, the most fundamental things about the doctrine of Christ. And I'm sure all of us have been at points in our lives where maybe we've felt that way. But here's the other thing to remember. If we're a mature Christian, our diet should be mature. But if you're not a mature Christian, you don't have to feel bad about not having a mature diet. It's very important that a Christian grows appropriately. Could you imagine trying to give a newborn baby solid foods? Well, I've never tried, but I'm assuming that it would not go well because their body isn't ready for that. Their digestive system is not ready for that. Even their ability to eat and use their mouth and tongue is not ready for that. And so the same thing can be true of Christians. It's important that Christians are introduced to deeper spiritual things at the right time and that we do progress. That's the point of the passage here. So should we feel an obligation to grow? I hope this goes without saying. I'm assuming it goes without saying. But all of us as Christians absolutely have an obligation to grow. And this is why it's really important that we don't make the mistake of comparing ourselves to other people. Because if you're way up here and you see people around you that are way down here, there's a real temptation to not worry so much about growing because you're already leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. So it's not that important that you grow because you're already so much more advanced than other people. At least maybe that's the way we might see ourselves sometimes. But that's not how this works. Everyone has an obligation to grow, and it doesn't matter where you are compared to other people. And the opposite can also be true. Maybe you feel like you're in a place where you see everybody up here spiritually and you feel like you're down here and you think, well, what's the point in growing? I'll never get up there. I'm so far behind. I'll never get up there. That doesn't matter. This lesson is 100% about you, not anybody else. And you do have an obligation to grow. It's pretty simple. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Who's that apply to? That applies to everybody. What if you're already pretty strong? You still have an obligation to grow in grace and knowledge? Absolutely. This isn't some kind of threat from God. This isn't some kind of ultimatum from God. You know, you better grow. We grow because it's good for us. We need more grace. We need more knowledge. It's not something that we should think of as a burden. This is a benefit to us. God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge, not for His sake, but for our sake. It's good for us to grow. And so do you want to be better? Of course we want to be better. One of the lessons that Nate has finally just learned recently is if you want to be better at something, you have to try harder. I think he finally gets it. If you want to be better at something, you have to try harder. I had him make a little video for my students the other day. Some of you may have seen me post this on Facebook. And my students were getting frustrated about some exams they wanted to take. And with no prompting at all, we did a couple takes, but I asked Nate to make a little video for him. So the first take was me asking Nate what they needed to do better. And he rolls his eyes and says, try harder. Because obviously that's the first thing, right? The second take, he just told some jokes. So whatever works for you. It is important that people grow. We have an obligation to grow. If you are a healthy Christian, you'll be a growing Christian. If you're not growing, I think we have to question whether or not we're healthy. So how does that work? What are the steps in growing? The first step, and maybe the step that all of us tend to mess up, is self-examination. In order for us to grow, we have to accept, number one, that we do in fact need to grow, so hopefully we're there. But then the second part of that is examining ourselves and understanding where we need to grow. Before we can take a step forward, we have to decide where it is that we need to grow. And again, this is another reason why it's important to consider only ourselves and not other people. Because my needs, my room for growth, I'm certain is different than other people's room for growth. Christians are commanded to examine themselves. One idea that one place this idea is mentioned is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Now, I think in this place, Paul is mostly talking about examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith at all. You know, so that's an important piece of this. Examine yourself to decide whether or not you actually are on Christ's team or not. But I think we can take that a step forward and say that self-examination is appropriate in the larger context of growth. I think that this is one of the most critical mistakes a Christian can make: failing to examine himself or herself. This is actually one of the most common mistakes that I deal with as an educator. Many of you are educators or have been educators, and I would guess that you have experienced the same thing. Students are struggling, and they don't know why they're struggling. If they would take just a few minutes to reflect on themselves, to reflect on their efforts, to reflect on the nature of the work that they do, it wouldn't take long for them to figure out why they're struggling. Sometimes these failures are incredibly obvious and very avoidable. This may blow your mind because it's surprising to me every single year, but it happens every single year. I have students that in one of my classes have to submit a paper, and inevitably, probably 30% of the class will submit a paper that is blatantly plagiarized. So any of you who have graded papers knows it takes about 10 seconds to figure out if a student has plagiarized. If they're using words that they never use in class, there's a very good chance that they copy those from somewhere else. And it works every time. I'll be reading along and suddenly they start using this really advanced medical language. So it's easy to check plagiarism. You just copy and paste the sentence, copy the sentence, paste it into Google, and you immediately find where they plagiarized it from. And so I send the emails to students reminding them, when you copy and paste out of the New England Medical Journal, that's their words, not your words, and you can't do that. So all of that is to say that some of the mistakes that we make as Christians are obvious and easily avoidable. Some of the ways that we could grow are easily accomplished if we just take a few minutes to reflect on ourselves. It's also important that when we reflect on ourselves, that we see ourselves as we are. There's two ways that this can go. Think about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So you know this story, the two men that go into the temple to pray. And what's the Pharisee do when he goes in to pray? He just tells God how great he is. Tells God how great he is. And the interesting thing about that story is we're not really told that he's right or wrong, but it's very obvious that his attitude is inappropriate. And then there's the other man that goes in to pray, and how's he different, the tax collector? He can't even lift up his eyes to God. And once again, we're not really told if he's right or wrong. We're just told that that attitude is more acceptable to God than the Pharisee who brought in an attitude of self-righteousness. So here's the thing to say about that. If you have to choose one attitude or the other, which man should you be like? Even if they were both wrong, which man should you be like? Be like the tax collector, who thought so little of himself, he couldn't even bring himself to look to God. He recognized his weaknesses and that he was a sinner. The issue that most people have, based on what I read in the Bible, the issue that most of us will have, this isn't always true 100% of the time, but most of the time, the issue that most of us will have is to tend to be like which one? The tax collector or the Pharisee? We will tend to be like the Pharisee. One of the chief concerns that we need to be aware of is to think too much of ourselves. And how does that affect our growth? Well, if you think you're up here, but you're actually down here, are we ever going to have the motivation to take the steps to get to where we could be spiritually? We'll tend not to do that because we already think that we're there. And this is one of the things that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The greatest temptation when it comes to having our view of ourselves incorrect, the greater tendency is to think too much of ourselves. And I think we've all have been there. We've all been in a place where we've thought too much of ourselves. And when it comes to growth, it is critically important that we're perfectly honest with ourselves about where we are. If you're in a good spot spiritually, that's fine. And it's perfectly fine to recognize that you're in a good place spiritually. But if we're not in a good place spiritually, if we have places in our life where we need to grow, it's very important that we're honest with ourselves about that. We have to examine ourselves. And when we examine ourselves, we have to listen to the results. So I think one of the things that we can do sometimes is we do examine ourselves. We see the results, we don't like them, and so we choose to forget about it. I know that happens because God says it happens in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is the challenge for us. How is it that we're supposed to see ourselves? We look into the mirror, but what is the mirror? The mirror is the Word of God, isn't it? Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. So this is another very important point when it comes to self-examination and growth. If you want to know how to grow, if you want to know how God sees you, if you want to know where it is that you can grow as a Christian, all of that information is in the Bible. The Bible is the best mirror when it comes to spiritual examination. When you read the Bible, you'll be reading along and you'll find passages that make you think to yourself, that's good. I'm doing that. I've been there before. I've been reading along and, you know, find a place where it encourages a little self-reflection and you think, well, that's good. I'm in a good spot there. But then there's other times you're reading along in the Bible and then you find something that kind of cuts to the heart a little bit. And you realize, I'm not there and I need to grow. The worst thing we can do is forget about that. And that's what James says here is don't be that way. There's plenty of people in the world who are hearers of the word. But God doesn't want people who are hearers of the word. God wants people who are doers. People who look into the perfect law of liberty, they reflect on themselves and make a decision to be better based on what we read in the Bible. So examine yourself and use the Bible to measure yourself. As you read through the Bible, there's some things that you should think about when it comes to self-reflection. God gives us some responsibilities. Depending on your place in life, your age, your gender, where you are, what you do, your abilities, God gives you responsibilities. Are you fulfilling those God-given responsibilities? If you are, that's good. If you're not, then the Bible says change. Are you fulfilling your potential? Are you where you need to be? Are you where you should be? Are you where you're capable of being? There's always room for growth. And as we read the Bible, it's important that we let it convict us. Let the Spirit of God speaking to us through the Bible convict us. So we've talked about how we need to grow. We've talked about how the first step is self-reflection. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is some specific ways that we can grow. How do you actually grow? Because for a lot of us, this is the hard part. I think, again, I've assumed, and I think rightly assumed, that all of us want to grow. Everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to be better at being a Christian. Everybody wants to be more like Jesus. So how do we actually do that? The Bible offers some very good advice on this as well. It's simple things that we can start doing today. Simple things we can start doing today. So here's number one to think about. Spiritual growth in our abilities requires using those abilities. To grow in a particular area means that you have to exercise your abilities in that area. And this could be anything. This could be anything. But growth requires exercising our abilities. I say this because I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 5. Let me read this again. And it talks about how important it is that for our spiritual abilities to grow, we have to use those abilities. Hebrews chapter 5, starting verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Part of polishing our spiritual conscience is to use that spiritual conscience. That's what he's talking about here. By reason of use, a person's senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. Anytime we stop doing something, we lose the ability to do that. Let me give you an example. So I spent 2 years in an x-ray program, and I actually teach in an x-ray program. I spent 2 years in an x-ray program, about a year actually practicing as a radiographer. So 3 years of my life, not that long ago, I was deeply involved in taking x-rays of people. The other day, I was helping some of my students in a course where they're practicing taking tests for their actual board exam, and they asked me a question about how to position a patient for a rib x-ray. I had no idea. Not a guess. And I spent 3 years training in that stuff, and I didn't have a clue. So I told them, I don't know. If you got a question about physics or something like that, radiation biology, I'll help you. But even though I had 3 years of training on how to position people for x-rays, I didn't know. And the truth is, the same thing will happen to us. If we get out of the habit of exercising our spiritual abilities, whatever that is, and it can be a lot of things, whatever it is, if we don't use those abilities, we will lose them. Here's something else to think about. And this, again, to me, is one of the most fundamental, most important things to think about in the context of growth. This is such a simple statement, but it's something you can think about every day. Growth requires change. Think about it like this. If you want to be better than you are today, can you be the same person that you are today? That's not how it works. And don't you think that's one of the main reasons that we often don't grow? We want to grow. We want to be out here. We want to be up here. But we're also very comfortable with where we are right now. It's very difficult to grow without changing. Let me give you an example. I would like to stop growing so much, if you know what I mean. I would like to stop growing so much. I love to lose a little weight. I love to get in shape. But you know what I love more than that? I love not changing. I love not having to make sacrifices when it comes to my diet. I love not going on runs in the morning. That's what I really love. And so I'm just going to have to get used to being the same unless I decide to change. The exact same thing is true spiritually. If we want to be somebody other than we are right now, we can't continue to be the same person. Our habits might have to change. The things that we think about might have to change. In fact, they will change. They must change. If we want to grow spiritually, the things we think about, the things that we do, the way that we use our time, our priorities, those kind of things have to change if we want to grow. And if we're not willing to change those things, then we'll have to accept not growing. Growth also requires trials. Sometimes we expose ourselves to trials deliberately, and then sometimes God forces us into trials. You think about Jesus when he was in the wilderness. How did he end up in the wilderness to be tempted? The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The language of Mark implies that, you know, maybe Jesus didn't volunteer for that, but the Spirit pushed him into the wilderness. Sometimes God will push us there too. And when we end up in a place where we're being tested in some way, it's important that we give our best effort to pass that test. James chapter 1 talks about this, mostly in the context of, you know, severe situations. James 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or steadfastness. Hard times make us stronger." But think about this. When we think of this passage here in James and we think about trials, what are the things that you think about? You think about the big life stuff, right? I usually think of illnesses or persecution or really severe things in life. That's what I think of when I think of trials. But that's not exactly what James says. Trials can be a lot of different things. Trials can come in many forms because growth can come in many forms. Trials obviously can include those big life things like death and sickness and suffering and persecution. But a trial can also mean something as simple as being pushed out of your comfort zone. I have to perform my first wedding in 2 weeks, and I'm losing sleep over it at night. Because if there's one thing you don't want to mess up, it's somebody else's wedding. You can mess up your own wedding and laugh about it later, but you don't want to mess up somebody else's wedding. And to me, this is a time of growth, because I've got to step up and do it right and not mess this up. And I would definitely consider this a period of growth for me. It's something I've got to work at. And it could be anything, though. It could be something different for you. Fulfilling responsibilities that you'd rather not fulfill. Making decisions that you'd rather not make. All of those are different ways that we can grow, even when sometimes we'd rather not. And then one more thing about growth. And this, again, is something I would consider fundamentally important when it comes to growth. I think it's very common for us not to grow because we don't think we can. But when you grow, it's not really about you. If you grow, it's going to be because God enabled you to grow. It's going to be because you let God make you grow. And so this isn't about you. This isn't about your personal abilities. This is about God's ability to take you and shape you and move you forward however He needs to, however He wants to. And so God is not limited. God is not limited. The only way that He is limited is the limitations that we put on ourselves. And so don't underestimate your potential. You can do whatever God needs you to do, and you will do whatever God wants you to do and requires you to do. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 30. "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." Maybe sometimes you feel like a mustard seed. Maybe you feel like all you've got is this tiny, tiny little seed of faith. But what Jesus is telling us is it doesn't matter how small your faith feels. God, if you plant that seed, God will take you and grow you into something that is much bigger than you ever imagined you could be. This mustard seed grows up to be this great tree, larger than all the herbs, that has all of these shoots and branches, so much so that other creatures are depending on this, the growth of this mustard seed. And you could be that. And that's why it's so important that we don't underestimate our potential. You could be that. Maybe you're the person that is going to grow into something that other people become very dependent on. It's very important that we don't underestimate our potential. So remember, when it comes to growth, growing our abilities requires using those abilities. Becoming someone different than we are right now requires change. We can't continue to be the same. Growth will often require trials. It'll mean doing things that maybe we're not comfortable doing. And growth often is going to require that we not underestimate our potential. So thank you for your time this morning. Personal growth is something that God expects of us. It's not easy. It's not easy, but we can all do it, and that's God's expectation. With His help, we will grow. Eric, you've got a closing number picked out for us?
539.
539, if there's any way the congregation can help you this morning, we can do that now as we stand and sing.